simply irresistible. From, oh no, he's hot. By Steely Deely Dan. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. There's no sugarcoating it, you have a problem. Sitting at one of your many, many workbenches, all of which are littered with mechanical or electronic projects in varying states of completion, ranging from sticky note sketches to "Accursed Creator! Why did you form a monster so hideous that even you turn from me in disgust?" You consider your predicament. On the one hand, you could probably get away with ignoring it by ignoring him. On the other hand, there's a part of you that does not want to ignore him. The part of you that sits below your belt, traitorous beast. Unbeknownst to your friends, you've been tracking Roxy's transition with increasing interest. At first, it could have been explained away by simple curiosity, and for a while, even you had believed it. About a year after making your new homes on Earthsea, Roxy had announced his intentions to go by male pronouns. When he'd made the announcement during lunch with everyone, gripping Callie's hand atop the table, he'd said he wasn't entirely sure yet what this would mean for him in the long run. But he would figure it out as he went. Within a few months, you'd heard from Jake that Roxy had started taking testosterone. Every subsequent photo of Roxy that you could find online became subject to your confused scrutiny. Holed up in your combination lab home workshop, it wasn't uncommon for you to stay isolated for long periods, especially so soon after the game. Having so many people around was still unnerving, which meant that Roxy's changes in appearance, while slow and steady to those more social than you, often came as a mild surprise when they found their way onto your phone screen. More months passed. A year. Two. Roxy's photos of his chest post-top surgery, courtesy of Jane, found their way into your feed. The incisions had healed beautifully, almost invisible only days after, and of course Roxy grinning wildly with 5 o'clock shadow and a happy trail that did weird things to your libido. That was probably the first time you admitted to yourself the extent to which Roxy's transition was affecting you. You began stalking his account, eyeing gym photos of his increasingly muscular body with lecherous intent, feeling more and more like a sick pervert with every side-by-side photo of Roxy with Callie that you skipped over. This, though you were sure, was behavior that you could stop at any time. Just as soon as you were done watching this video of Roxy's squat PR. Until the dreams started. Hands and lips and teeth and sweat and muscle consumed your sleeping hours, and as you obstinately refused to allow yourself release while either conscious or dreaming, your body was forced to desperate measures. Many nights had you waking up painfully hard, rutting into the sheets below. The ghost of Roxy's aftershave of memory dredged up from the last time you'd talked in person. Those nights spent lying on your back thinking of anything, anything to get your dick to go soft again, were still better than the other nights. The other nights, where you woke with a guilty moan. Boxers, sticky and ruined. The vision of pink eyes with a boyish sparkle, cutting cruelly into your groin. Dreams of hands, no longer quite so dainty, wrapped around your cock and your throat. Forced onto your front, with your ass in the air, finally letting yourself take advantage of your awareness within the dream as you whine and writhe and let him take. So here you are. 5 years after the game, sexually frustrated like never before, sitting in front of your main workbench, staring at your phone. You are finally faced with the issue at hand, and it is mortifying. Tipsy Nostalgic, TG, began pestering Tamias Testified. TT, at 1348.
TG.
Hey.
TG.
Destroy.
TG.
Dirkie.
TG.
Dirk.
TG.
Come on, I know you're online.
TT.
Hello, Roxy.
TG.
Oh my fucking god, hi, it's been forever.
TG.
Okay, so.
TG.
I.
TG.
Have been training.
TG.
With Davey.
TG.
Just to keep in practice.
TG.
And for funsies.
TG.
Anyways, I wanna see if I can beat you.
TG.
I bet I can.
TG.
Wink wonk.
TT.
You want to spar against me.
TG.
Yepers!
TG.
Ding 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 ding.
TG.
Tonight.
TG.
7 p.m.
TG.
Your gym.
TG.
Cause I know you have one.
TG.
Okie dokes.
TT.
I assume you'll bring your own sword.
TT.
If not, I can provide.
TG.
Yeah!
TG.
I knew you'd say yes.
TG.
And yeah, I'll bring my own blades.
TG.
No worries.
TG.
See you then.
TG.
Prepare to get your ass beat, Destry.
TT. TT.
We'll just have to see about that.
TG.
Oh, sure.
TG.
All right, bye-bye.
Tipsy nostalgic, TG ceased pestering, Tamias testified, TT, at 1404.
With a sigh, you slide your phone into the back pocket of your skinny jeans. You wish you could say you're not entirely sure what you've just gotten yourself into, but your disastrous relationship with Jake has made it clear to you by now that you've just condemned yourself to a night of playing hide the boner with your oldest friend. It is unfortunately entirely your fault that you have become conditioned to interpret close-quarters combat with a hot guy as foreplay. You spend the next 5 hours tinkering fruitlessly with your projects, very carefully not checking the time every half hour until you eventually finally hit a snag in the code of your newest battlebot that actually distracts you long enough for you to lose track of time. You're shocked out of your worked-up coding frenzy by the flat buzz of the doorbell. Shit. Fuck. As you trudge out of your lab, you wipe your sweaty palms onto your pants, reminding you with a jolt that you've forgotten to change out of your skinny jeans and into something less skin-tight. You dearly hope that this won't come back to bite you in the ass. With your luck, it probably will. On your way to the front door, you grab your katana and shades, perching the latter on your nose as you clip the former to your belt. A cursory glance through the door's peephole to confirm tonight's opponent is unnecessary, but it wastes a few seconds before you have to face the object of your most recent sexual obsession. You open the door. Hey, Dirk. Roxy's voice still shocks you with how deep it's gotten. His voice is still just as smooth, just as smoky and dark and sensual, but with added gravel and lower pitch that does something to your insides. He's also dressed in a pink muscle tank and tight little black booty shorts that cling to his ass and thighs like they're painted on. Oh, God, this was a terrible idea. You play it cool. Hey, Rox, you greet, airy and unaffected. Stepping inside, you gesture inwards. You ready to get your ass handed to you? He laughs, and there's a bite of something mean underneath it that sparks something in your gut. You swallow, looking away as you lead him further into your house. You really are the worst kind of person. Roxy is chatting idly about nothing as the two of you descend the thin stairwell into your basement gym, and a very, very small part of your brain is telling you that there's still time to fake a sudden foodborne illness to get out of this. A larger and hornier part of your brain is telling that part to shut the fuck up and take advantage of the basement's many mirrors to get some choice angles of your foes, Rockin', but the hornier part of your brain is winning. Within seconds that feel like hours spent in a hormonal haze, you and Roxy are standing across from each other on the foam mats that make up the floor. Shifting your stance, you slowly unsheathe your katana and nod towards your opponent. What are you using? You ask. Roxy pulls two wicked-looking bowie knives out of the void and gives you an evil little grin. Fuck, it's really working for you. This is worse than it was with Jake.
I know it isn't fair, but I used to. Or do you need me to go easy?
His voice takes on a saccharine menace. It's so goddamn sexy. Fuck.
Not a chance, you choke out.
And that's all the preparation you get before you're being rushed. Caught off guard, you barely manage to flash step away, not even attempting a slash with your blade. Roxy twists, kicks out a leg, and leverages himself in the other direction. Whip fast, you counter his lunging strike with your katana and throw in a responding attack, the cadence of your aggression taking on the tone of a duet, giving and taking in near equal measure. Roxy responds in kind, taking predictable stances, adding riffs in the form of unexpected little jabs and counters. It's exhilarating, at the same time that it isn't, because it becomes obvious that both of you are holding back. Until he doesn't. There's a shift in the fight that you only perceive moments before you feel the consequences of it in the form of a relentless pursuit. This isn't a duet. This is a barrage, a crescendo you don't know the notes for, and now you're scrambling to meet the conductor's speed with every clash of your blades. Parry, dodge, parry, parry, slash, dodge, parry. You have a whole fucking sword in your hands, and you're being forced into defensive measures by a blonde bastard with two knives. You're ceding ground. This isn't how it's supposed to go. There's no way Dave taught Roxy to fight this well. With a clatter that startles you back into your own skin, your katana flies from your hands and into the weight rack to your left. You barely have time to process the fact that you've been disarmed before he's right there, backing you against the mirrored wall, one knife pressed to your neck, the other pressing against your abdomen. You can't even stutter on a witty concession. You can feel the cold metal of the knife at your throat and the hot magma of the arousal in your blood, a dizzying temperature differential that flushes your face and tickles your skin.
Roxy's body is fully pushed against your own, and you are harder than you've ever been in your life. There's no way he can't feel your dick pressing into his thigh. Your eyes are locked onto his, bright orange meeting neon pink. And wait, when did you lose your shades? God, how distracted were you? You open your mouth to apologize for being so supremely uncool in this moment for your stupid, awkward boner, and also probably to ask permission to commit some kind of honorable suicide, but Roxy presses the bowie knife in your throat just enough to remind you that it wouldn't be a good idea. Up, up, bump. He shushes. Voice all melted caramel. What's this? Little Strider got something to say. He nudges your straining dick with his thigh and you choke back a whine. You don't dare to try speaking again. Unfortunately, that means Roxy will have to be the one to fill the sweaty silence. His eyes go half-lidded and sultry, and he leans in, tilting his head up because you've always been the taller one, but he's so goddamn built now that he's keeping you pinned against this wall by sheer force of will. Fuck. This is not helping the boner situation. If you wanted to fuck, Dirk, all you had to do was ask. Roxy purrs. Stalking my profiles, taking screenshots of my gym photos, a guy can get some crazy ideas, wondering why you're acting like a cyber creep. Unless you do this to every hottie on the block. He's giving you an out. You don't want it. You continue to stare him down, your face reddening even more than before. Roxy's lips are so close, so close. You can feel his hot breath on your own. When he speaks again, it's less of a sound and more of a vibration you can feel in your bones. Tell me if I'm wrong, but he begins, and he doesn't even bother to finish his sentence before he's pressing his mouth to yours, and God, it feels so good, so fucking good, but, you gasp, even after all those years ago, you still... Even without finishing a single sentence, you hope Roxy will know what you're trying to say, trying to ask him. You crack an eyelid to gauge his expression. He's still grinning, still staring at you like you're the last sip of water in the desert, like he wants to consume you from the inside out. You're really gonna let our ancient teenage angst get in the way of a good hard fuck? This is an excellent point. And you are all out of excuses to chicken out on the hottest dude this side of Paradox Space, so you drop your shoulders and duck your head to meet his lips with your own. It's so fucking good. When Roxy drops the knives off to the side, you can hardly help the way you sag into him, finally able to run your hands up and down the muscled form you'd been admiring from afar for years. He grabs the back of your head with one hand and your ass with the other, using both to pull you closer in, and shit, the way he grinds his thigh into your erection is enough to shock a little gasp out of you. He takes advantage, and the slick slide of his tongue against your open mouth is enough to get you to moan loud before your eyes flutter shut and you reciprocate, tongue to tongue, lips overlapping. You're making all these embarrassing noises and you don't even care. Fuck me. You pant, desperate. He pulls back. Knees. You drop to your knees like you're a sack of potatoes. All you can do is watch in a kind of horny daze as Roxy peels those torturous booty shorts down and off of himself. Fuck, he wasn't even wearing any underwear. You can see his fat little dick poking out and you feel your mouth start to water. You lean forward and his hand slides through your hair, twirling to get a good grip before he forces your face towards his crotch. There's not even a question of disobedience. Huffing in a deep breath, you're overwhelmed with the heady scent of sweaty, aroused man as your nose brushes his bush, you groan. Your hand reaches for the button of your fly just to ease the pressure, but the fist in your hair yanks you back. The sharp pinpricks of pain go straight to your cock anyways. Hands to your sides, he commands. And you nod weakly. You lean back in and allow yourself a few gulps of that sweaty man smell again before you moan and wrap your lips around his dick. It's so fucking hot. You can feel his pulse through it. Above you, he swears quietly. And you get to work. Lavishing his cock with your saliva, you pull out all the stops. You swirl your tongue around the tip, press against the underside, and suck hard. This earns you a gasp that lowers into a groan that makes you dizzy, so you do it again and again. He starts to move your head back and forth, fucking your mouth, and it's so arousing you can feel yourself leaking into your boxes. Roxy sets a punishing pace, and the slick sound of it all is doing things to your cock. It's all you can do not to buck your hips up and into nothing. You want to hump his leg like a dog. All of your energy goes into sucking his dick like there's nothing left in the world except your mouth and him. Roxy speeds up, and you suck hard, your eyelids fluttering as he comes with a shout. His fist in your hair clenches, and you gasp before wrapping your lips back around his cock to work him through the orgasm. Soon enough, he pushes your face away, and you sit back on your haunches to pant like you've just run a marathon, sweat and slick and spit running down your chin in strings. Your dick strains against your skinny jeans, and God, it's painful, and you can see a little wet spot at the tip, but you don't dare to touch it until he tells you to. Good boy, Roxy praises. And a whimper rips its way out of your throat. Roxy. Please. You croak. And it's so unsexy how desperate you are. Fucking touch me already. Fuck! He ignores you and summons a black leather harness in one hand, a sparkling pink silicone dildo in the other, and a positively filthy little grin on his face. If Poppy wants a pounding, Poppy's gonna have to earn it. He coos. Sliding the harness into place around his legs and hips, the sparkly dildo is now at eye level. You moan at the visual. This time, you don't even wait for instruction. Before you hit your hands and mouth on the phallus before you, one hand grips the base and strokes slowly while you hollow your cheeks around the tip. Your spit coaxes the cock liberally, dripping from the sides as you bob your head like you're being paid by the hour. It's like you're made for this. Roxy sighs, rocking his hips gently, taking my dick so well. Bet you have this down to a formula by now. I always thought those lips would look good around cock tam. Boy, bat those eyelashes again for me. He teases, you obey. Roxy spends a minute or two longer like that, letting you suck his strap on while your head pounds and you feel like you want to squirm out of your skin with how hot you feel before he pushes you off. Good puppy. Take those pants off and turn around. You land back in your ass, legs splayed, and your hand flies to the button on your pants. The relief you feel just from popping it is enough to make you gasp, your throat bobbing as you swallow back a noise. Fuck. You manage, sounding strangled. When you push your skinny jeans and boxers down and off your legs after resorting to a few undignified little kicks to free your feet from your shoes as well, the cold air of the gym on your heated skin makes you shiver. Your dick is a deep red, standing tall and leaking obscenely at the tip, but you only eye it for a second or two before you flip onto your hands and knees, exposing your ass to Roxy's scrutiny. You jump a little when his hand slips between the joint of your hip and thigh. There's a shuffling behind you as Roxy lines himself up, and you're about to ask if he can void up some lube or something before you hear him grunting, and long, slick, wet noises underneath it. It's not until you feel the warm, slippery fingers against your ass that you realize he's using his own cum to prep you. Your knees nearly buckle with the knowledge. The first finger slips around your rim for a minute, gently massaging. You whine. When he presses a fingertip in, your back arches and you make an embarrassing little pink sound that sounds like it came straight out of a shitty porno. Oh, fuck. You can barely form words at this point. And he's only up to the first knuckle on finger number one. It feels like your brain is melting out of your ears and your dick. You want to come so, so bad, but judging by the way that he's laughing quietly behind you, you can tell it's going to be a while. Your cheeks burn. Does Poppy want a treat? Roxy murmurs. You don't even think before your head starts to nod, and before you can make a verbal confirmation, you can feel his fingers slide even further in and crook. The noise you make at that is something base and animal, dredged up from whatever hidden depths have kept your marinating lust under wraps for the past few years. You can feel a tiny spurt of pre-cum drip from your cock and onto the floor, and your legs shake with a violence that surprises you. If your body decides that now is the time to collapse into a dreadful little horny puddle of Strider, you think you actually will die for real. Roxy just huffs and pulls his finger back, then in again, then back out, and in. The thrusts are small, slow, and steady, but he starts to speed up when he feels you relax around the intrusion. The feeling is nearly overwhelming. Roxy, shit, you pant, gritting your teeth. Hurry, fuck, I'm gonna... Instantly, he stops. You refuse to moan.
but instead allow yourself a frustrated but ultimately very controlled little huff as he slowly pulls his finger out. That's fair. It's fine. God, you want to come? Now two fingers circle your rim.
Is Poppy gonna wait his turn?
Roxy asks, playfully stern.
Gonna be a good boy for me?
Your head hangs, shoulders tense.
Mm-hmm.
You manage. When you realize he's not going to go any further without some kind of response, if this were anyone else. But it isn't anyone else. It's Roxy goddamn Lalonde, and he's apparently some kind of anal-fingering virtuoso, evidence apparent in how he slips the tips of his fingers back into you, slowly opening you up one knuckle at a time. Based on how easily he found your prostate the first go-around, he's definitely avoiding it on purpose. Now your dick is aching. By the time he's slipping a third finger into you, your usually racing mind is nearly blank with lust, your hips thrusting back and forth thoughtlessly in little motions you can barely control. You whine when he pulls out, but the haze of desperation clears a little when you feel the blunt tip of the strap-on take the place of his fingers.
Fuck me,
you wheeze. The slickness of his cum and your spit ease the way, and oh god, it's so much longer and thicker than his fingers. It's pressing into all the right spots. Yes, this is what you needed. Roxy pulls back and slams his hips into you. The yelp of surprise you make will be the subject of much debate later. In the moment, however, your eyes roll to the back of your skull as he pounds your prostate with the kind of precision that makes neurosurgeons look like toddlers playing operation. It's almost too much, but you'd rather die than have him stop or slow down. In fact, it feels like he's even speeding up a little, and the ache building between your legs is starting to mount, and it's good, it's really fucking good. You've never been able to get this when you're alone in your room with the curtains drawn. You can't even get a hand on your cock, and you're about to blow. Shit. You sob intelligently as you come, untouched, all over the floor of your basement gym. Mercifully, Roxy slows to a long, dirty grind as your dick just weeps and weeps, white ropes. By the time you're finally finished, his movements have become glacial, pulling out of you with a slick sound, and only his firm hand on your hips keeps you from collapsing into the foam mat below. With a nudge, he pushes you to your side, and you roll on your back away from the puddle you made with an oomph. While supine, you allow yourself to take in huge, gulping breaths, only barely registering the sounds of Roxy unbuckling the harness and tossing it somewhere. You might even black out for a second, it's hard to tell.
Just for future reference, Destry,
Roxy's voice floats into your ringing ears.
Callie and I are in an open relationship kind of sitch, so you don't need to pull the stalker act. If you want a booty call from yours truly, I've pastor chum, believe it or not.
When you close your eyes again, face flushed from embarrassment, Roxy's grin above you stays burned into your memory. All things considered, it's not actually a bad view. You could even get used to it.
If you like this story, and I know you did, and you would like to read more like it, and I know you would, visit the AO3 page of Steely Dealy Dan. I'll be waiting. The music is Spill the Tea, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.